The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they said in reply, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others, one of the ancient prophets who has arisen." And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell anyone. And he went on to say, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly, must be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised up." And then he said to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to take this gospel text and try to find how this finds a presence in our lives today. It's a living word of God, and therefore there's some teaching here. There's some gift, some grace, some moment to call us to transformation found in the living word of God. Jesus is praying, and his disciples are with him, and he says, "Who do others say that I am?" And they say, "Nobody said you're a loser, you're weak." Nobody said, they said, "Oh, you're one of the prophets, or you're John the Baptist come back, or you're one of the great ones." Then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, replying for them, says, "You are the Christ of God." And he said, "If that's what you believe, you have no gospel to preach, and you are certain that I am the Christ of God." Certainty is a very dangerous condition. In Joseph Heller's book, there is this interesting insight where the corporal and Colonel Korn agree that it is neither necessary nor possible to educate somebody who doesn't question anything. So if you have questions, this is good. It keeps your mind alive. Don't be paralyzed by the arrogance of certainty. Keep alive. Keep your spirit alive. Keep your mind alive, so that somehow the Spirit will move through you. And here, Peter is sure. And Jesus said, "Don't be so sure until you have seen my humanity." Well, they've seen the miracles. But until you have seen my humanity, and until you have embraced and accepted my humanity, and until you have seen my humanity in yourself, therefore the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected, must experience injustice, must be radicalized by the community, somehow must be diminished, suffer greatly, and must die. And then he will rise from the dead. Only then will you know the God-man. You will then know that nonviolence triumphs over violence. Only then can you understand the Christ of God, the God-man, the one who is present in your own life. So I'd like to look at that for a few moments. Joan Chittister, in her book, In God's Holy Light, suggests this. Parents who won't listen to their children, teachers who cannot be educated by their students, and religious leaders who don't belong to the pains and sufferings of the people are all destined to fail. Is this true? When I retired, well, I kind of retired. I retired from digging up parking lots and painting buildings and things like that. When I retired six, I built a bucket list. I had important things on it, like the Kentucky Derby. But in the interests of transparency, I went first to Gethsemane, to Thomas Merton's place, to do a retreat. Then I went to the Derby. I picked the wrong horse. I didn't win anything. I went to the Indy 500, important things like that. But one of the things that I really decided I must do, I must go to Oslo to see where Nelson Mandela got the Peace Prize. I must go to South Africa to see where he spent 27 years in jail, 20 in solitary confinement on Robben Island, and how he came out of this as a man of peace. Transformed by his suffering, he carried the cross of his people. He carried the sufferings of his people. And he was transformed by his suffering. And he came out a free man. So that 3 years after his release from prison, he would receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And his companion in the prize would be the one who represented his oppressors. His peaceful soul converted the oppressor. An extraordinary Christ figure. I found him very inspiring, so I went to see this. He was led by an African concept called Ubuntu. And this is a tribal concept in Africa where I am who I am when we are together. You are who you are when you are together. You're only human when you belong to humanity. To be fully human is to belong to the humanity which surrounds you, which will urge you toward compassion, understanding, patience, and forgiveness. Urge you to embrace all of humanity in whatever form. So how do we take the gospel today and begin to interpret the pulse of the moment? Begin to feel, sense how the gospel calls us to listen, to belong, to celebrate our humanity. Ubuntu says that if you do not belong to humanity, you are denying and degrading your own humanity. You are dispossessing yourself of your true identity. Can we lose our souls? Could we renounce who we are in the image of Christ? Some years ago, a friend of mine in Jerusalem, a Jewish man, an attorney, whose son was conscripted into the Israeli armed forces. And there's great conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians, especially in the West Bank. And his son was involved in this, young man, 19 years old. And he said, "I fear that my son will lose his soul." We have to look at that in our church. We have to look at that in our society. Are we going to lose our soul to radicalism? Are we going to lose our soul to judgment, to excluding people? Are we going to lose who we are in our humanity and begin to take on an identity which isn't human? And therefore, it degrades us. It divides us. It's worth thinking about. Not only in society, but in the church. Can we lose our soul? Or can we follow Jesus Christ and say, you must carry the cross. You must carry other people's crosses. You must belong to humanity somewhere. We have to make a statement that nonviolence always triumphs. Jesus suffered. He was neglected. He was judged. He was set aside, underappreciated, and he was killed. And then he rose from the dead to say, goodness will always triumph. That's the teaching. Mandela would go on to say in his acceptance speech in Oslo that if you speak to a man in a language which he understands, it will go to his head. But if you speak to a man in a language which belongs to him, it goes to his heart. Helder Camara used to say it differently in Brazil. This great archbishop, he'd say, there are people on the right, and then there are people on the left. But remember, Helder Camara said, the heart is a little bit to the left. The soul. It's Father's Day. I was given a teaching some years ago that somehow relates to bringing the gospel to life on Father's Day. This man who was a father of 8 children, very close friend, bonded brother, very close. He retired when he was 59. He died when he was 60. He got cancer. And when he was preparing for his death, I spent a lot of time with him. And each time I go to see him, all the children were settled. They were all covered. They were fine. They were secure, except one. He had a son. And he worried about this son because the son had left his wife and children, and he was living with this other woman. And he couldn't overcome this sense of failure as a father and a sense of something broken in his family. He's preparing to die. Then one day I went to see him, and he said, I'm peaceful. I am now ready to die. I have figured it out. And I listened to him, and he said, he's my son. He's my son. That's all that counts. He's my son. In all his humanity, he's my son. He couldn't deny that he was his father. If he denied his sonship, he would deny his own fatherhood. If he said he's not my son, he would wound his fatherhood. He's my son. Wherever you are in your life, celebrate your humanity on Father's Day. When I remember my father, he was a man of some success in his life, a man of great honor, very honorable man. But the thing that inspired me the most was his humanity. He wasn't perfect. Somehow, I could relate to that from my own imperfection. And that humanity of my father inspired me. So let humanity be part of the grace and the teaching of the Word of God. Not just to celebrate the glory of your father, but to celebrate the humanity of your father. And here's the prayer. Thank you. The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend, and he'll still be heard in the tunes we've shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me. Like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. I thought he'd live forever. He looked so big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly when it happened, there was no much left to be said, no second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. Gone, I miss him.